Please remain standing.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Psalm number 57, number 57. Psalm 57 is where we'll be at this morning. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer together. God, as we now go into your word, we have to thank you for it. We would be lost without it. Your word is what brought us to Calvary, realizing our sin, our need for a Savior, and what your love did to make that all possible. It's your word that we're going into this morning, God. I pray that my words will not detract from it. God, I pray that my words would be given clarity so as not to interfere with the power of your words. And I pray for the hearers of this, that their hearts would be opened to your words, your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start this morning by considering some of the dangers that are in this world. You know, there's a lot of dangers in this world. There always has been. And especially today, I mean, this is kind of on a humorous note here, but everything, there seems to be a danger in it. Okay? Think back, and maybe you've seen these posts on social media before. When I was a kid, we didn't do this or that or this or that, this or that. And look, I'm still alive. You know, when I was a kid, literally, we didn't hear of hand sanitizer. Okay? When I was a kid, bicycle helmets weren't created yet. And there weren't massive death casualties across the world from kids riding bikes without bicycle helmets. And the list could just go on and on. We would pet our dog, play with our dog, and go eat lunch without washing our hands. Some of you may think that is just totally gross, but we didn't die. We didn't get sick. In fact, I probably ate dirt when I was a little kid in a sandbox, and we turned out okay. At least I think I did. But beyond that, on the serious side, there are a number of dangers in the world, and I think there always has been. For example, in August 1945, some of you maybe weren't even born yet, the atomic bombs were dropped on Japan. That ushered in a whole new age of man-made destruction. The threat of nuclear war from that point on. It struck fear in people across the world. Some of you may remember the rush to build bomb shelters so that you would have a place to go, and then stockpiling those bomb shelters with the necessary supplies that you would need in case of a massive nuclear fallout or something. I remember back 21 years ago, yeah, a little more than that, almost 22 years ago, many people were preparing for Y2K, all right? And the world was going to come to an end. And for months, many, many people were making plans to survive this threat, this danger that was coming. I was at a pastor's meeting prior to that, and one pastor there literally said, "We were committing a sin of not protecting our families if we didn't buy a 500-gallon underground storage tank for gasoline and bury it out in the middle of Oklahoma like he was doing." Other people stockpiling water and anything else they could get their hands on. Now, that never happened. Some dangers actually do come to pass. We have today biological threats that exist. Plagues, viruses. And then we have the threat of the forces of nature. 4 or 5 years ago, we experienced a tornado right here in Taylorville. You know, there really isn't a good spot on Earth that is completely safe, even just from natural dangers. We have hurricanes, there are tornadoes, there are typhoons, there are tsunamis, there's drought with intense heat, there are volcanic eruptions that might go along with that. There's also places with intense cold. Now, these are just some of the natural disasters that endanger people. And so, some people build underground storm shelters so that they can have a safe designated place to go in case of a natural disaster. That's just making preparations and being safe. Life is filled with dangers, and our natural instinct is to shelter or protect ourselves from these threats. Along with those threats, here's another one. We also have the threat of people, dangerous people. David faced that as he wrote Psalm 57. As he was seeking shelter, buried in a cave, this song about shelter from life's dangers and threats. Folks, we have them. As God's beloved children, we are people for whom He has a plan and a purpose. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Because He has a plan and a purpose for His people, we are safe in Him. And since nothing on this earth can protect us like God's great love and faithfulness, we should hide in Him. Now, when a person goes to hide, you know, typically the kind of running joke is for scary movies. There's a crazy man with a chainsaw, and there's this group of young kids that I saw this on a commercial one time. They are just making fun of scary movies, and they're out in the middle of this yard, and there's a guy with a chainsaw coming, and right next to him is the car that they could just drive away in. And someone starts to go to the car, and they say, "No, don't. Let's hide in the house. That's a safe place to be," right? See, the reason that's funny is normally we go to a safe place, a place where we feel safe, a place where that feeling of safety brings peace, calmness. That's a safe place. We are safe in Christ. We should hide in Him. Let Him be our safe place. It does no good to have a safe place in Christ if we're standing out in the middle of the yard, the danger's coming, and we're just, "Oh no, the danger, the danger." Go to the safe place. What should we do? Okay, here's a better question. What should we be doing right now? Number one, seek God's protection. David said this to Jonathan, Saul's son, in 1 Samuel. He said, "There is but one step between me and death." Now that was not exaggerating. David knew that Saul would not rest until David was dead. So, what did David do? What should we do when there's a danger, a threat? Psalm 57, verse 1. David wrote, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." David, he's asking for mercy right there at the beginning. "God, be merciful unto me." This is how David started Psalm 56 as well, that we covered last week. He had a great need. The danger was all around him. So what could he do? "Oh no, oh no, oh no." Or go to God. These weren't just words that he was saying, by the way. You know, we have the Bible, we have the words, we have the cliches, the sayings, and we could just get on our knees and fold our hands and close our eyes and pray these words to God and think that's like a magic ticket or something. But it's not just words. In his heart, he was taking refuge under God's wings, under his protective outreach. They were more than just words. While hiding from Saul in the cave, by the way, he was taking precautions, okay? There was a danger, there was a threat. He wasn't playing out in the middle of the street thinking, "Okay, well, God's going to take care of me." No, he took precautions. God never, I don't believe God ever says He's going to protect us from our own foolishness. But He does give us wisdom. And there's David hiding in this cave. He recognized a glorious truth as he's surrounded by this stone cave. God was his true refuge. Imagine David resting in this safe place as he was pondering his situation, and he realized that he might have been covered by the stone of this cave that he was in, But he was safe in the shadow of God's wings. In his meditation on this thought, instead of his problems, by the way, or instead of the problems, that brought a sweet spirit, a sweet peace to his spirit. Now, can we say we do this? Before we move any forward with this, he prayed for mercy. He recognized his safety, his trust is found in God. And they weren't just words. He meant it. How do we know if we really mean it? I think if we just play back in our minds what we talk about. Do we spend our time talking about the problem, the threats, the ifs, the thats, all of these uncertainties? Or do we spend our time talking about God? You see, our words come from our hearts. What our heart is meditating on, that's what's going to come out. What came out of David was his trust in God's safety. Now, let's just apply this first verse for us. What an image for us. David compares God to a mother bird that hides her young under her wings to protect them from danger. There's a realization here that he is, in fact, safe under God's sheltering wings. And it was such a realization. It was such a not just words realization that it transformed David's cry for mercy. That's how he started. And it transformed into this song of praise. So by engraving this image in his heart, in our heart, we can find the same peace. Consider some of the hazards and threats that people face today, like diseases, illnesses, danger associated with travel, natural weather catastrophes, criminal acts, corrupt governments, terrorist acts. I mean, these things are everywhere. God doesn't want us living in fear. Not the, oh, I'm afraid kind of fear. We talked about that here in the last week or two. I think it was on a Wednesday night as well. God doesn't want us living in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's the, oh no, kind of fear. God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We need to learn to rest in God, to practice being in his presence. Not to worry about the threats. We have no control over those things, but God does. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we who are kept by the power of God through our faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by him. No man can pluck us out of his hand. Psalm 91:4, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That last verse there, under his wings shalt thou trust. So, you mean we just have to trust in this knowledge that God will never leave me nor forsake me? That's exactly what God is saying. And if that is our thought, then disasters come or threats come, and we think, Pastor's saying we just have to trust God because God's sovereign and he's love and faithfulness and he won't let anything happen to us that isn't good in the sense that it will fulfill his purposes for our lives. He's crazy. He doesn't know what it's like. You are not trusting in the wings of God's protection. This is what God's word is telling us. So here's what David did next. Declare your trust in God. David is now, after that first verse, it probably took a long time to write that verse, or a long space elapsed and he summarized it down into that first verse. But now he's resting in the peace of God's protection. And he gives now a strong testimony of placing his total trust in God. You see, what he knew about God, what he knew about God convinced him that God really did care for him and would not let him down. He knew that God is faithful. Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You see, we have to ask this question now. What did he know about God? Whatever it is he knew about God brought him to this place of convinced confidence and trust. So what did he know? He knew God is Most High. I will cry unto God Most High, he said. God is the all-powerful one, folks. That is more than just a catechism statement that we learn in church. God is the all-powerful one. The one who can do anything and everything, and he could do it all at the same time, by the way. The Supreme One, the Sovereign God, who is above all others and all things. Psalm 83:18 puts it this way, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Jehovah is over all the earth, folks. And that means everything on this earth. All the threats and the dangers and the threats of dangers. God's over all of that. Declare your trust in God. There's one reason why David could do that. He also knew that God will fulfill his purpose for you. Nature has no control over you being born. Nature was part of it, but it had no control over it. You were born because God, before you were even in your mother's womb, had a plan for you. And he used this thing, by the way, that he being all powerful, he created this thing called nature to bring you to pass, to bring you from where you were with him to this earth in fleshly form. And because of that, he has a plan for you, planned before you were conceived. He has a purpose for you. That word perform that we find there in verse 2. It means that God will complete. Whatever it is he has planned for you, he will complete it. As a believer, how many of you would just long to go to heaven? Not would just, but do long to go to heaven. I mean, if God came back, the rapture happened by the end of this week, and all of you were in heaven, let's say 4 days from now, we as believers were standing in heaven, how many of you are going to be saying, oh man, I didn't get to do those plans I had this weekend? I don't think any of us are. We long to be there at some level. We may not think about heaven as much as we should, but yeah, we understand heaven, that's the place we're going to be. And we also know that God's word says it's appointed unto man once to die. In other places in the Old Testament, it points out that he has your day and your month that your life is ending. And he planned all that before you were born. So now you enter this earth as a baby, and you have a set amount of time. God's already planned it. No matter what, you cannot live longer than that time that God planned. And you can't live shorter than the time that God planned. It's only going to be what God planned. How many of you would want to live longer than what God had planned for you anyway? I'm thinking, no, I want to go home as soon as he's done with my plans for me on this earth. I want to go back home. God will complete or finish all that he has planned for your life, and then you're going home. Dangers, threats, they're not going to alter his plan. David believed that God would deliver him from Saul because God had anointed David to be king over Israel. He's still remembering that. And he believed that God would see to it that his purposes would be carried out. He believed that God would fulfill his purpose. We need to believe that God will fulfill his purposes for us, regardless of any dangers or threats. David also knew that since God is the all-powerful one and that his purposes for David's life would be accomplished, then God would send help to save him. God will send help to save you. He's not going to let something happen to you that's not part of his plan, which is better than our plan, even though we may not like it. He's not going to let something happen to you that is going to alter his plan sooner than when he intended you to be done on this earth. God will send help. Look with me at verse 3 of Psalm 57. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. David was anticipating that God was going to do something that only God could do to get him out of this. And from reading the Old Testament, we see God did that. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Verse 4, my soul. Now David's explaining in a poetic form what's going on with him. My soul is among lions. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Again, he's expressing such trust and confidence in God that he's already speaking as though Saul and his enemies have already fallen. David is expecting God to do something miraculous for him. And his confidence in God to deliver him rested in his knowledge that God is always true to his divine character and attributes. David was concerned for God's glory there in verse 5. He says, God, be exalted. God, let your glory be above all the earth. Folks, when you look up from the ground and from your horizontal position, you tilt your head up, you're outside, what do you see? Sky. It's over all the earth. And David is saying, God, I want your glory to be above all the earth so everyone sees it. You see, Saul's drive to kill David, it was just an arrogant attack on God's will for his chosen nation. Saul knew that David had been anointed to be the next king. Saul knew that God anointed David to be the next king. Saul said, I'm not going to let that happen. God can't do that. I'm going to stop him. You see the arrogance there. And God had ordained David to be Israel's king. Saul's attempting to overrule God's plan. Folks, you can't do that. It can't be done. So here's David's thinking. By God saving David from Saul, God would be exalted. His supreme authority as God would be proven, would be established, however you want to say that, and the earth would witness His righteous judgment of Israel's rebellious king. Here's a thought for us. What David knew about God empowered him to rest in His care. 2 Timothy 1:2, it says, "For the which cause," Paul writing, he said, "I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know," we just talked about, have been talking about what David knew. What did Paul know? "For I know whom I have believed." He knows something about God, okay? "And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Folks, when we are threatened or endangered, or we sense a threat, perceived or real, it doesn't matter, we need to recall what we know about God. He is God Most High. He is all powerful and has all authority. He will accomplish His purpose for our lives. He is aware of every detail of our lives, and He will keep us when we, or help us when we cry out to Him. And just like David, our ultimate concern should not be to get out of danger. Our ultimate concern, like David expressed in verse 5, is to bring honor and glory to God's name. No matter what. No matter what our circumstances are, God will be glorified before the world when we proclaim our total trust in Him and rest in His care. When we're standing out here in the yard, "Oh no, oh no, oh no," we're not proclaiming any trust in God. We're sounding just like the unbelievers. But when we're in here, "God's got this. God's got it. I don't like it. It can be scary. Yeah, it could drastically change my life. Even not just change my life, it could end my life. But God's got this, because I know my life is not going to end until God's done with the purposes for my life." There's no fear now. There's no, "Oh no," kind of fear. There's rest, peace. And the fear that we might have here is the fear that God designed it to be, and that's the fear to be wise, okay, and not play in the street. Okay, so we go to God for protection and mercy. We declare in our souls, not just our mouths. We declare our trust in Him. We recall all that we know about God. Now what? Well, that would be number three here. Be steadfast and worship faithfully. Now, I just want to just take a second, maybe just to recollect my own thoughts here before we jump into this. We go to God for protection and mercy when there's a threat. We don't stand out in the yard. We declare, not just with our words, but in our souls, we declare our trust in Him as we recall everything that we know about God. Many Christians can do that. But now what? Be steadfast and worship faithfully. Those first two points, if you're taking notes, I hope you have been, because you'll be able to look back real quickly. How do you know if you've done the first two points? You've gone to God for protection and mercy. You've declared your trust in Him from your soul based on what you know about Him. How do you know that you have really done the first two points, especially that second one? How do you know? Because that second point, if you've really done that second point, it will change you. You will be changed. Do you recall that verse in James? Before we go back to Psalms here, let's just kind of digest this thought here for a moment. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show you my faith by my works, right? And it's a great passage, more verses before and after it that really talks about, it says faith without works is dead. And many times we use that verse in the context of salvation. Folks, you can call yourself a Christian, but if there's no fruits of a Christian, you're not a Christian. Well, how can you judge me like that? I can't. God's Word just did. Faith without works is a dead faith. But that same concept there. A man may say he have faith. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So the threats, the dangers, there they are. They're all around us. Yes, I did the first point, okay? Went to God for protection and mercy. The second one, declare my trust in God. I've done that. And yes, Pastor, I believe it in my soul, okay? I really mean it, okay? And here I am. I really mean it. But there's no works coming from this alleged trust that you have in God. There's no works coming from that. Faith without the works is dead. I have faith. We can say that. Many Christians do. I have faith. I can and I do quote Bible verses and Bible sayings about how God is faithful. He will never leave me nor forsake me. But do we really have faith? Have we truly engraved our soul into the truth? Verse number one. This is what David did. And it brought security to David's heart to such extent that it changed him. And we're coming to that. He chose no longer to live in fear of Saul. He chose, after he got in from outside in the yard, he got into the safe place under the shadow of God's wings, calling for protection and mercy and declaring his trust based on everything he knew about God. Now he chose, I am not going to live in fear anymore. And what he did changed. This is the truth here for us, folks. Whatever the threat is, if we trust in God, we cannot continue to live in fear. What did David do? He committed himself to worship God faithfully. In this passage here, in this poetic passage, he's worshiping by singing and giving praise, making music to him. You could see, here's the point, you could see his faith in what he did. Look what he did. Psalm 57, 8. He said, awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. So what did David do? He got back to worshiping God. When he says, awake, do you know what he's implying there? About himself. He's implying that, listen, please, folks. He's implying he got away from worshiping God because of his circumstances. Has that happened to us? He got away from worshiping God because of his circumstances, such that he has to say, awake! He had allowed his circumstances to keep him from worshiping God from a position of faith and trust. And this wasn't, by the way, awake, David, you need to get back to worshiping God. This wasn't a, I'm going to be getting back at it as soon as this changes or that changes. Oh no, that's not what he is saying. Because of that use of the word at the end of verse 8, Psalm 57:8, I myself will awake early. That word early, do you know what that implies? That implies now, not later. I'm going to get back to worshiping now. I let my circumstances change the way I worshiped, but now I'm going to get back at it. Not when all this is over, whatever our circumstances are. Now, look what he did next. He witnessed among the people. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Verse 10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. He is saying that he would not limit his praise to just church people. I'm kind of making that jump into current day. He wanted to be a strong witness to all people. He wanted all people to know about God's protection, God's peace, God's promises, God's purpose, God's character that would not allow God to falter in any of these areas. He wanted everyone to know that. He wanted every human being to know that God's unfailing love and faithfulness cannot be contained, cannot be dampened by any circumstances. My friend, do you believe that God's purposes cannot be changed? Do you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? Yes, yes, yes to all of the above, all the questions you could ask. Yes, I believe that. But here you are standing out in the yard. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Who's going to believe when you say that God will protect you? It alters your message, doesn't it? In fact, you're standing out here in the yard. Oh no, oh no. The message of, yep, God is faithful, God's in control. And we so little believe that, standing out here in the yard. And here's how I know we don't believe it if we're standing out here in the yard. If we really believed it, we would be arising early, getting back to those things that we allowed the circumstances to veer us off of. Being wise about it. And then David did this. He asked God to shine his glory over all the earth. Psalm 57, verse 11. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He's just repeating his desire from verse 5. And we spent a little bit of time on that now. When circumstances, whatever form they may take, when they exist in our lives, because God is sovereign, those circumstances provide an opportunity for us to worship and glorify God. That can and should happen, but it won't if we don't overcome our tendency to doubt and complain. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side. Now, folks, Paul, he had some things to complain about, didn't he? He had dangers and threats all the time. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You would never see him out in the yard. Oh, no. Oh, no. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? How is that possible, Paul? Well, let's look at verse 14 of chapter 4. Knowing. Ah, he went back to the things that he knows about God, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. There's that confidence based on what he knew about God. And do you know what? Do you know how that impacted Paul? He didn't stay, let's say, hiding in a cave. Man, he was out there. He took precautions. There were times he was running for his life. But he kept serving God. He didn't let the circumstances curtail his worship of God and how he expressed that worship among the peoples of the earth. We should praise God at all times. We should continue to worship. Praise, folks, praise is always powerful. But it's never more powerful than when it's being given by a believer who's suffering. Paul and Silas, as an example. Remember, they were in prison, and at that midnight hour, they were praising in the prison. Wow, that had an impact on the jailer, didn't it? We should sing praises to God in the midnight hour. There is no stronger witness of God's love and faithfulness than when a believer who worships him in the midst of circumstances. Always remembering. Psalm 112, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, we need your help with this. There are many dangers. We talked about natural ones, those recurring dangers in our world. There are certainly political dangers. There are medical dangers. God, as believers, instead of us arguing over what is acceptable and appropriate and what we should and shouldn't do, God, I'm just calling on the believers that are watching this right now to just focus on whether or not they're really placing themselves under your wings. And if they believe they are, has their worship been altered because of it? God, as believers right now, this world, not just believers, this world is experiencing dangers and threats, and they need to see Christians who really believe that God is in control, God who loves us and is faithful to his children. They need to see that. God, let them see that in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I trust you'll be back again this evening as Pastor Taylor continues to preach through Genesis. Have a good afternoon.